you, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Okay, let's assemble ourselves for a study of the Word of God and worshiping together. Hundreds coming forward. Well, parts of hundreds. A small part. Still coming in. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer, test yourself. See if you're in the trusting of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, that all that we might do will be glorifying to God our Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity we have to come with other believers, worship you in spirit and in the truth of who and what you are. We pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
Number 63.
You're right there with it, aren't you?
That's right. I had that memorized. Number 63, would you stand? Would you sing three verses?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene, and wonder how he would love me, a sinner condemned and
about prayer. And there's Thomas. Thomas, how you doing? Good. All right. I like been that way for years. So that's always good. How did the test turn out, Terry?
It's doing well.
Well?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. And this is the fifth year. All right.
They set off a few things that they set off, but they said if we don't hear from them in a week, they're good. We're pretty positive that everything's well.
That's the way I feel sometimes. That VA will take tests and I never hear from them, so I figure, well,
that's right.
Let's continue being in prayer. for Thomas. Let's see. A friend of my granddaughter, Caleb, his mother, Tanya Bursey, is in the hospital for various seizures. So please be in prayer. She is a believer in Jesus Christ. John Hintz is doing really well. Whatever was going on in his stomach has subsided, but his rib still hurts him really bad, and he's not doing well. So please be in prayer for John Hintz. And please, people, please be in prayer for youth camp. Please be in prayer for the young people, getting that the Holy Spirit will get them ready for things they'll be learning at camp. Be in prayer for the staff. Be in prayer for the teachers. Just be in prayer for every aspect of the camp. Safe travel to it. Safe travel back. I don't take those things for granted. So please be in prayer. Anything you want to add?
Sign up in the back for the setup crew and breakdown crew is really, really important. If you want to be a part but can't be there for the week to work at camp, it would be a great way to help us out to get a lot of things unpacked up there on Saturday and get ready for the kids, and then break down on Friday when we're trying to get the kids out of there. And we're also starting to see some kids come to youth group, I'm sure in Plano too and Wiley, that haven't been in a long time, but they're gearing up for camp. They're bringing their Bibles, they're praying, they're getting ready. So that's exciting too, just to see those kids coming and excited.
That's great.
So the camp from here is about an hour, hour and 15 minutes from here.
It's on Lake Texoma. Texas side, of course. anything else? Okay.
Just have a prayer request for our family. Chris is on his way to Arkansas with Nick for Boy Scout camp this week, so prayer for safe travels. When I talked to him, Nick hadn't slept and was feeling pretty sick, so just prayer for his health and that he'll...
Oh, wow.
You know, that he'll be all right, and prayer for all those leaders. There were 37 Boy Scouts and 13 adults that were going with them this week. But prayers that it would be a God-glorifying time and that they would all be safe.
Good.
You guys, prayer for Cameron. He's working really hard and doing summer school and just a lot of hours. He's tired. He's exhausted. But more than anything, my prayer is always that whatever it takes for him to stay close to God and in his relationship, because it's real easy for us to get distracted. We all know that from what's really important. So just ask for your prayers.
Distracted in college?
Not Cameron.
Let's be in prayer for Chris, opportunity to witness for Christ, and what's going there. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Mark.
I'm going in for surgery. Remove cataracts a week or Tuesday.
Okay.
Your
mom, right?
No, me.
No. You?
Yes.
When?
Week and Tuesday.
Wow.
Came on real fast.
Am I kind of blinky to you?
Just
Oh, you can double your blessing. I'm sorry. We'll definitely be in prayer. That's good. Yes, sir.
I didn't think about this. I don't know why, but if I could tag on to our youth camp, the Birmingham Doctrinal Studies Youth Camp is the first week in July, and then, of course, our last...
That's really, you can hook on with that. That's great.
Yeah, so same prayers, right kids are there, right counselors, right staff.
God, the Holy Spirit, start preparing the young people for things they're going to be hearing, and the staff and the teachers. Yeah, very good. Safe travel. Can anything good come out of Alabama? Oh, okay. Now, yes, hon.
My dad's going in Tuesday for, well, update on the doctors met at the conference, and they did stick with the original plan for him for his liver cancer. So it's a good plan. It's minimal side effects. But they're going to start Tuesday, so we go in Tuesday.
Start Tuesday.
Yeah, and now as I take him, it's a minor procedure, but it's an angiogram where they're going to map out in the liver where they're going to be placing these little beads, make sure that there's no radiation that can leak out of the tumor, you know, into other organs of his body. So that's the mapping on Tuesday, and he'll also stay there for about all day, you know. And then he'll go back 2 weeks later, 1 week to 2 weeks and they'll place those radioactive beads in this tumor.
His family's coming to town this week?
4th of July. 4th of July.
Oh, 4th of July.
Yeah,
okay.
My sister's family from Alabama.
All right, very good. Pray for safe travel. Safe travel.
Also, and then Bobby will be here. So, yeah, all of us, he'll have all of the kids.
Safe travel, and prayer. Good. Yes. Any other hand? Any other? Yes.
My dad's health continues to deteriorate, and he won't get out of his bed or wheelchair anymore.
You can get him going.
He'll eat blue belt.
Cure all for
everything.
We'll definitely be a prayer. Thank you for sharing that. Any other prayer requests? Anything? Yes.
The
men at
Cigar Church.
Do what?
The men at Cigar Church.
Okay.
Yeah, we're breaking down more walls. So.
Good. Very good.
Make sure I don't run them off.
Yeah. Very good. I'm always in prayer for you that the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom and discerning wisdom. And speaking of Trey and Christy, they just got back. The reason they look like they're the idle rich is they just got back from a 25-year wedding anniversary celebration. That's really good. Wow. Wow.
You know, people would find out, of course, the place was full of honeymooners. How long have I been married? 25 years.
Do you mean I've got to stay married that long? Wow. Will we make 25 years?
In heaven.
Oh, in heaven. I guess I'm out, huh? I'm going home soon. Okay. First of all, let's talk about the offertory. And the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. God loveth the gracious giver. It's a privilege, an opportunity to be part of the spiritual, the eternal plan of God. You can use your money for the temporal. You can invest it in the spiritual. So it's up to you to decide your priorities in life. These things in mind, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this humble assembly. Many wonderful opportunities you give us. The internet, young people in so many different ways, home, churches, camp. Heavenly Father, the missionary outreach, constantly in prayer for the Risleys. Take care of Pat, give her strength and wisdom, especially wisdom. Father, we thank you so much for the fellowship we have right here with one another. And therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, I was reminded, last Sunday I announced a church congregational meeting. By constitution, we want to do it two Sundays before. We announced it last Sunday. But I found out that next Sunday, about 7 people are going to be gone. And cannot help it, they just already plan to be gone. So, cancel last week's message, announcement, and I will announce it the first Sunday in July, and we will do it the second Sunday of July. Not Communion Sunday, but the second Sunday of July, and that'll give us some time to go over the lease and just do some things about it. So the second Sunday of July, so you've been in a war now several Sundays ahead, not just two. Okay, I met with Chris Digg this week, and people have just told me an unbelievable story. I just sat there and just, you've got to be kidding. In Wiley? And it was about Lori. And I want her to just come spend a moment or two sharing with you how to defuse a verbal attacker. So, Lori?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Are y'all ready for this? This is crazy. Okay. So, what day was it then? Tuesday. No, it was 2 weeks ago, yeah. Ben and I went to the rec center in Wiley. Seems harmless, right? Going to work out, and Ben wanted to do some lifting, and anyway, I was up there with him, so we were doing our little workout. And this man approached me in the Wiley Rec Center, and he walked up to me, and he was smiling. He's probably in his mid-60s or so. I said, well, that's a colorful shirt. I was wearing a t-shirt. It's not even relevant to the story, but that's how he started a conversation with me. And I said, yeah, it's, you know, one of my teacher shirts. And he said, great. And he said, so are you a Hillary supporter? And he just asked that question. So I thought he probably wasn't based on the percentages in Wiley of conservative anyway. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. Are you? And he said, well, I wouldn't be asking you the question if I wasn't. So what happened after that was I was verbally attacked and yelled at for a long time. Ben was standing right next to me.
Got right in her face.
He was. He was pointing. He told me how unenlightened I was, how stupid I was, how I'm the cause of women going backwards. So my first thought was to get away as soon as I could. And I just said, sir, I don't want to have this conversation with you. And I was praying the whole time and just saying, God, if you're allowing this confrontation to happen, there's a reason, and just your power, your strength, your words, whatever, give me the opportunity. So my first thought was, I'm not going to step back in fear because I'm not afraid. You know, whatever he's doing, he's got issues, not me. And I stepped toward him, and I not in a confrontational way, but I just put my hand on his arm. And he was going on about how Republicans are so disrespectful to women. And I just said, sir, you are the most disrespectful to me I've ever had in my life. You know, how disrespectful. I'm not going to have this conversation with you. And he apologized, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm just very passionate. I'm not angry, I'm just passionate. And I said, I'm willing to have this conversation and discuss with you, but not if you're going to treat me like that. Ben is still standing over to the side watching. I asked later, Ben, were you thinking about how you're going to step in and defend your mom? And he said, Mom, I was, but I was watching and seeing how you were handling it and whether or not you wanted to have this conversation. So poor Benny, I'm sure he's over there going, what do I do? But, wow, it was just an attack like I have never had. And so he would kind of calm down, and he wasn't going to hear anything that I was saying. So I would kind of try to present something, and a couple of times he'd say, oh, well, you're right. And then his voice would elevate back up, and his hand would get back in my face. And he must have told me 3 times how unenlightened I was. If I heard that one more time, I was just... So I finally said to him, I said, you know, more than any political thing, because there's things I don't agree with about a lot of the politician leaders, you know. And I said, I'm sure we won't ever know the whole truth. I said, but more than anything, my faith is the foundation. You know, Jesus Christ is the foundation of how I live my life and what I choose to do. And he said, that's the other thing with you conservatives. You just throw religion in there. You just use that like you're... And I said, I'm not throwing anything at you. What I'm saying is that how I choose to live my life is not based on what a politician is doing. It's based on my faith. He goes, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And I said, more than anything we're talking about, that makes me so happy. I'm so glad you're a Christian. Anyway, he continued to yell and go down and go up. And I just put my hand on him and I said, you know, I'm glad we had this conversation today. I'll be praying for you. Anyway, he finally laughed at the end, and he gave me a big hug, and I said, his name is Chuck, so please be praying for Chuck and Wiley. And I, you know, even 2 hours later, I told Ben, I'm still trying to calm down. I've just never been that attacked, but I know that there's a reason for it. I know there's a lot of hate and a lot of corruption, and Satan is on the move everywhere we go, but I also just realized, thank you, God, that you stepped in, because I would have reacted totally different if it was just, you know, I was offended, I was angry, you know, all those things. So there I am in my city. And my mom said, did you go report him and tell him? Because he may be going up to lots of people doing this. And I didn't. You know, I just, I don't know. Gave him a hug. I told him I'd pray for him. And it was crazy. It was really crazy. So please pray for Chuck and pray for all of us, because our emotions run high when all this is going on. But staying focused on what's important. So that's it.
It was crazy.
Chris said, it's a good thing I wasn't there. I'd be in jail for what I would have done. But I think his wife handled it very well. Today's Father's Day. And it's difficult today because so many people have a bad experience with their father in today's society. And I'm very sorry about that. I think one of the most interesting things about God, we had a little book that we looked at on Wednesday night in our study of Isaiah 53, dealing with the names of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, and on and on and on. But I think one of the most interesting things is the title, one of the titles that God took for himself, Father. Think about that. God calls himself Father. That's amazing. And we should learn, if you cannot learn from your earthly father, and I'm so sorry that so many cannot, what a shame, and what a joy it is to have learned and to be learning from your father, self-discipline, individual responsibility. I'm responsible for my own decisions. These are the things that a father should teach. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Holy Spirit. And individual responsibility for the decisions that you make. Respect of your mother. Respect of authority. These are things that a father should teach. But it's not being taught. Our society today has turned against all the divine institutions. It's against volitional responsibility. It's the government's fault. It's the government's responsibility to take care of me. It's not my responsibility. It's the government's responsibility. It's the government's responsibility to protect every aspect of my being. Not my responsibility. And they think they're going to get away with that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you die, you're going to learn individual responsibility. If you're an unbeliever, you're going to face him at the great white throne judgment. If you're a believer, you're going to face him at the judgment seat of Christ. And individual responsibility is going to be a key factor. What did you do with your freedom? What did you do with your responsibility before God the Father? There are books for everything. You want a book on how to be a father? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. If a father knows how to give good gifts when his son asks, when his children ask, how much more God the Father? God, he calls himself the Father because he is the origin. We have a father because we are from them. God is our father because of the origin, the creation. But of course, if you believe in evolution, you don't need a father. But if you have creation, he is our father. He is the source of our being. He is the source of our blessing. He is the source of our lives. There is so much we should learn and can learn from God the Father. And please remember, the Jews in the Old Testament never prayed to him as God the Father. Never said, our Father. They knew him as Father, but they never prayed to him as Father. Once Jesus Christ, his Son, came to earth, we who are in Christ have him as our Father. To know him as your Father is a privilege that you and I have in Jesus Christ. But even just as the world, we can learn how to be a father by the study of Jesus Christ, by the study of the Word of God, how he did what his Father wanted done, and how he prayed to his Father. So, if you had a wonderful Father, or have a wonderful Father, give thanks. Give thanks to God. Learn and enrich that. If you didn't, then start it in your own life. Having a wonderful Father and being a wonderful Father. These are the things that are being lost in America today. But I want to tell you something. 1 Thessalonians 4, make it your goal to live a quiet life. You have the responsibility of your own life, not the government, you, in choosing what you're going to do with your own life. As a father, as a child, as a woman thinking to marry someone, if we're going to have children, what kind of a father is this guy going to make? That's very important. So, it's just a little words dealing with our society and Father and Father's Day. And I've asked Judith to sing one of the most beautiful hymns in regard to father and mother. Judith and Wes, thank you very much. Does anyone not have, do you live to please Jesus Christ? The handout for today's study. Do you live to please Jesus Christ? Or do you live to please yourself? Everyone have one? All right. Very good. We're getting into the momentum here. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of this prayer is to give you a moment, test yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we can call you Father. The more we learn of you, the more we learn of your faithfulness. Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see this morning in the passage before us, to affect our lives, influence us in our decisions, preparing us for the judgment seat of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. I think most of you know, I never knew my father, but I had the greatest grandpa you could ever want. And Granddad, he didn't have to say too much. If you were doing something that was wrong, that was it. That was it. I mean, even if you're just sitting in a room and he does that, what am I doing wrong? And, oh, there's a lady in the room and I'm sitting, so you got to get up. I mean, that was just his way. He did, and his enforcer was hanging on our back door at our house. I don't know how many of you even know what a razor blade is, a razor strap, but he had a razor strap at his house, and he would use it. He had a razor strap, and he kept it at our house, and he used it, but not for his shaving. And that was just the way he was. Just clear his throat, and that's all it took. I'll never forget one Sunday. We had a big Baptist church, and up here, and a long stairs, and I drove around, and I thought I was pretty good. I walked across the street. Got my date after Sunday morning, walked her across, got in the car and took a car. Oh, did I get a lecture? How I should have turned the car, come down on her side where she could have gotten in from the curb on her own side. Yes, sir. That's it. And but he just, what a grand granddad he was. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We covered Paul's first 7 petitions of prayer. First of his 7 positions. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. Remember, he doesn't even know these people. He's never seen them. People, you can pray for people you don't know. You can pray for the young people coming to camp here, coming to the Alabama camp. You don't know them. You don't have to know them. Your Heavenly Father knows them well. That's what's important. A lot of you do not know Terry's father, Johnny. I do, but a lot of you don't. Still pray for him. A lot of you don't know Martha's father. You can pray for him. People, you don't have to know people to pray for them. So Paul says, we do not cease to pray for you, for your benefit, and our prayers to ask. First petition. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, which we looked at last Sunday. In reference to spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, this introduces a very important principle in the condition of America today. One of the problems in America is not political, not racial. The problem in America is spiritual. And therefore, it is individualistic. It is spiritual. It is individual. We have abandoned individual responsibility in this country. Never forget that the problems of America and of the world is a spiritual problem. And that this problem is the spiritual problem of each individual. There is no mass solution. No political platform. It is individual and spiritual. America has turned its back on the Bible and is turning more and more to the Quran with Sharia law and all the rest of it that goes with it. It is an individual problem. It's a spiritual problem. Don't get all upset. Pray for individuals that they will be awakened to the spiritual issues. And here in America, we're turning away not only from the spiritual solution, Isaiah 53, but are in denial of individual problems and responsibilities. Socialistic communism. It is not the fault of a female if she gets raped after getting drunk or by dressing in a manner where she is advertising her body. It's not an individual's responsibility. It's the government's responsibility. It's the government's job to take care of us from birth to death. And we can live however we choose in between. And as we move away from these two vital points, we move away from the solution. The two vital points, individual problem, spiritual problem. That's the issue. It's individual. Each individual is spiritual. Each individual must decide for himself, herself, about Jesus Christ. And then as Christians, decide about the Holy Spirit. Individual, spiritual. The solution to both, individual and spiritual, is the gospel of Isaiah 53. Now, we move to Colossians 1:10. We have three more petitions. It is worthy for us to note these petitions to serve as a guide in our own prayer lives, in praying for one another, and in praying for ourselves. Let's take a look at the second petition. Verse 10. Second petition. Petition. So that, we pray, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. There is so much in this one phrase. Let's first look at it grammatically. There is no so that. It simply starts off with an aorist infinitive. I wish there were a so that. That would be really cool. But there's not. It starts off with an aorist infinitive, which is very interesting and very important in studying the Bible. How are we to understand this aorist infinitive? It does not start off with a present tense, noting the continuation of our walk day by day. It doesn't even do that. But instead, the Holy Spirit put this in the aorist infinitive, which means this looks at our lives in total. See, the aorist tense doesn't look at a process, doesn't look at time, it looks at an event. That's what the aorist tense does. So why the aorist tense here, not the present tense? Because people, the Holy Spirit, God, looks at this, looks at our lives in total. In total. Not where you failed, and not for the few moments where you did walk in the Spirit, but your whole life as a corporate total. John Eddy, in a commentary on the Greek text of the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, that's a long title, but it's a great book, words the impact of the aorist infinitive here, a Christian's entire life and behavior viewed as a whole and not individual deeds or actions. So, what are you going to view your life as a whole? You can't just pick out the good things. You can't concentrate on the bad things. What's your life like in the whole? Remember, we're looking at Colossians. Why are we studying Colossians? To be prepared for the first thing that happens after the rapture, standing at the judgment seat of Christ. What will be evaluated at the seat is just that, your life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what Christ is going to look at. Here's your life. Let's say your life is 50 years as a believer. He's not going to look at 50 years. He's going to look at your life in the time span that you spend in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's going to take him not going to take very long. 7 years cut short for the evaluation of every believer of the church age. Some of them will be next, 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 next. Oh, 3 minutes. Good. Good. 3 minutes. You're going to get a blessing. See? That's what's going to be looked at, people. I'm going to study the full study of the judgment seat of Christ with you and back all this up with Scripture. But that's what's going to be looked at. A Christian's entire life, standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Our lives, that time when we walked, lived by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sins will not be an issue. The issue will be the time spent in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why will sins not be an issue? Christians always make an issue of sins. Newspaper reporters always make an issue of sins. They will never write an article on Nixon without talking about his sins. Never will. And Christians will always bring up your failures to you. They'll always do that. They've got to do that. Not Jesus Christ. Why not? Christ bore your sins in Isaiah 53 on the cross. Smitten, stricken, and afflicted. He did that for you. Sins are over. So what's he going to look at? What's he going to look at if not sins? Time you spent and didn't spend in the Holy Spirit. So, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is an aorist active infinitive of the verb peripateo, simply to walk. The aorist, the active voice, means this will be a decision of each believer each day throughout your life. The aorist tense, one shot, look at your life. We made a one shot decision of faith in Christ, results in being saved forever. Now, to a Calvinist, there is no volition. God determines every choice you make. What a pitiful view of God. I sinned, it's God's fault. James is beckoned about that. See, it's so important we study the Bible correctly. So many people want to take 1 John 1, verse 9, and make that the big issue. Confession. Verse 8, they're in denial. Verse 9, confess. But people, what about James? By James. They confessed. I did it. God made me do it. What does James say? Don't make God the author of sin. See? What about that? And then you go to Corinth. Corinth, they did not deny. I did it, and it's you're just gonna have to deal with it. That's the Corinthians' view. I did it, you deal with it now. Wife, you deal with it. Son, daughter, you deal with it. Boy, you deal with it. I don't have to deal with it. And so, what does Corinthians do? It talks about how the Holy Spirit brings us to a understanding of our sinful position. There are so many different things that deal with sin. And confession is just one. And if you're not in denial, forget 1 John 1:9. You're driving along. Someone cuts in front of you. And for a split second, you get out of fellowship. For some of us, it's longer than a split second. You get out. Well, wait a minute. I'm out. I'm not in the Holy Spirit here. I need to get back into the Spirit. I've just confessed. I've acknowledged. I'm in sin. Get back. Move on. See? But sometimes we deny it. Sometimes we blame God. Sometimes we blame others. It's my parents' fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. It's my children's fault. And on and on and on. People, there are so many different things we've got to do with sin. So, blaming God is not one of them that is justified in the Word of God. You make this decision, continuing now, you make this decision throughout every day in your life. That is, you make a decision to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord or not. And just as your decision to trust or believe in Jesus Christ as Savior results in your salvation, we will see how the decision on how you will walk today can result in your walking to be worthy of the Lord. The knowledge and wisdom plus power of the Holy Spirit is converted into function, doing, how you function throughout your life. Next, note two directions of desire to walk. Worthy of the Lord, then to please Him in all respects. Two directions of your walk. Worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Before we examine these two directions of your walk, what should be your desire, to walk worthy of the Lord and to please Him, not please yourself, not please someone else. My biggest complaint with that thing that used to go around, the promise keepers thing, and they have, I promise to be the kind of husband you want me to be. You don't want to be the kind of husband your wife wants you to be. She changes from day to day. She changes from hour to hour. See? Now, what kind of husband do you want to be? The kind of husband you want me to be. You know what she needs. I don't know. You do. You're in me. I want to be the kind of husband you want me to be. That's the promise that we ought to have. Not what she wants. That's why books are written, people. Books are written for every age in life. Adolescence, teenage, 16, 17, 18, on and on and on. The Bible is written for all people at all times. To walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the knowledge and wisdom plus the power of the Holy Spirit has converted into function. So we want to work worthy of the Lord to please Him. Let's take a look at the concept behind walking. Let's just see. This is used over and over and over and over in the Bible, New Testament. So let's take a few things about walking. One, the word to walk is a most applicable word for living a life pleasing God. While running is often used for acceleration of Christian growth. Running is used like in Galatians chapter 5, you were running well. Now, here though, where running is often used for acceleration of Christian growth, no one runs all the time. Just as walking requires one step at a time, so living each day worthy of the Lord requires living one volitional decision at a time. Point two, let us develop the analogy of this word from the standpoint of the mechanics of walking. Whether you are aware of it, and most of it are not of us that are not adults, whether you're aware of it, your body are off balance for a second until you put your foot forward and down. Best place to learn that, watch a little child. Watch a baby just learning to walk. They're just, and then they stumble. Then they cry. Sometimes they get angry. I love the ones that get angry. The crying is normal. I like the one, why did I do that? See? But it shows us we're off balance for a second there when we're walking. They put a foot down. Now, as we walk each day in the angelic conflict, we can most easily become off balance, but stabilized by continuing to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, growing in the wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. This also brings up the mechanic point of momentum. As we continue to walk in one direction, we build up momentum in walking. It's wonderful to watch. It is wonderful to watch. And I thought I had missed it, but being married, I've got to watch little babies. And it is so much fun. As they get there, then they start walking real fast. Bam! Bam! But it's that momentum. They love that momentum. I'm making progress across the floor now. Bam! I just hit the table. But they're making momentum. And that's the way we want to have life. Build on momentum. As we continue to walk in one direction, we build up momentum in walking. It is most interesting to watch and observe either a baby walking, here it is, learning to walk, or someone relearning to walk after an accident. My good friend John Hintz, after his motorcycle wreck, that's one thing he had to learn all over again, to walk. Put the foot down, put another one down, and had the rails to walk by. Had to learn all over again. It's something we take for granted. We mentally do it, but we take it for granted. But this is an unbelievable place. Not that certain of lifting the foot and planting it, and then lifting another but soon they both learn to develop momentum in walking. So it is in the Christian walk. We should desire momentum in our walk to please Him. Now, I don't have it in your notes, but let me tell you something. Warn you. You build momentum walking in sin, too. You can build momentum walking in Christ. You can build momentum walking in sin. And just build that momentum. Get that momentum going. And so enjoying that momentum. And you never get back. Or it's a hard journey if you do get back. Now, so it is in the Christian walk. We should desire momentum in our walk to please Him. We build those momentum by continually walking by faith and continually growing in wisdom and understanding from the intake of the Word of God. Point three on walking. Here are four spheres of the believer's walk in walking worthy of the Lord. One, in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Two, by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This one is most interesting, for when we physically walk, we walk by sight. But spiritually when we walk by faith, by means of faith in the Holy Spirit. But see, when we walk, you walk by sight. See? I don't know about your house, but I guarantee you don't want walking around our house in total darkness. I mean, we have grandchildren that leave stuff out. She has a husband that leaves stuff out, and just all kinds of things. You can bump into furniture, but we walk by sight. like to see where I'm walking. To see where I'm walking. Make sure there's, is there a clean step there? See? But we're to walk by faith in our spiritual walk. Three, so one, walk in the Holy Spirit. Two, walk by faith. Three, walk in truth. That is, we walk in the knowledge of the Word of God as seen in 2 John 4. I was very glad to find some, not all believers, walk in truth of the Word of God, but some of your children walking in truth. Four, we are to walk in spiritual love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. So we're to walk in the Holy Spirit, in truth, in spiritual love, by faith. It is impossible to walk worthy of the Lord or to walk so as to please Him without walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2, 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. Four, fourth principle on walking. Walking, therefore, is descriptive, is a description of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, Romans 8, 2-4. Five, there are some strong warnings concerning how we walk as Christians. Ephesians 5:15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Well, how do you become wise? Study the Word of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1, 6. If we say, claim, that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What about walking in darkness? John chapter 12, verse 35. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light Himself is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. We can apply it from the physical realm of walking in darkness, but we're talking about in the spiritual realm. You walk in spiritual darkness, you know where you're going. You're going to end up in idolatry. John 8, 12. And then we go on another warning, Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame. Another warning that is often overlooked when studying the Christian walk, 2 Corinthians 10:3, for although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now the point here of this verse is that while we're prone to war or battle in the angelic conflict according to how we war in the physical world, training and discipline of the flesh. But this passage teaches us something different. We do not fight in the spiritual invisible conflict by the flesh. Do not do it. It's a whole other battle. There are two ways that I, as a pastor and friend, could talk to Lori. I say, Lord, now here's what you want to do. The minute he got in your face, raise your right knee right up, and then when he goes down, come across with your right hand and bust his like this and push his nose up into his brains. And that's how you handle it. But she being wise, handle it spiritually. I believe in Jesus Christ. Do you? Wow! Boy, that's better than a kick. That's better than your nose up in your brain. That's unbelievable. That is great. That's spiritual. So we battle in the spiritual realm differently than in the flesh. How then do we fight? 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, spiritual, invisible, are not of the flesh, visible, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Build up against fortresses, build up against us, against your growth and wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the Word of God, against your marriage, against your happiness, against walking to please Him, against your being the kind of father He wants you to be, being the kind of mother He wants you to be. So we are not to walk as unwise, but as wise. That is, by wisdom from the Word of God. Not walk in darkness. That is, not to walk life outside of our position in Christ, and not walk about naked of our position in Christ. We are not to fight in the angelic conflict as we walk in the flesh. 5.6 of walking. There are many descriptions in God's Word of how a believer should walk, or describing how a wise Christian will walk, live his or her life. I've listed 5 for you very quickly. We're not going to study them. Walking worthy of the Lord. Walking to please the Lord. Walking in the newness of life. Walking worthy of your calling in Christ. Walking in good works. People, you kind of know who you are. As you, when you leave the house, or enter the house, or in the house, in the car, I'm in Christ. I need to watch my mouth. I need to watch my actions. I'm in the Lord. Do I want my words and my actions to be worthy of Christ, to please the Lord in the newness of life, or in the old flesh way? It's up to you. Do it in the flesh. Do it in the spirit. One of my fondest memories of doing it in the flesh, my good friend Mickey Bell, listens to every one of our lessons. Wonderful friend. And he was just learning and growing in the Word, just started coming to our church, starting to learn. And we were in the religious center at the University of Houston. And a priest guy came in with one of these collar things on. And a lot he knew wasn't right, but he knew a lot more than Mickey. And Mickey got so exasperated, he just stood up and he said, "You want to go outside and settle this?" And the poor priest, he just said, "No." And I got up and slapped my friend on the back and said, "It's time for us to get out of here." But people, that's the way you handle it in the flesh. When you run out of spirit, just handle it in the flesh. That's what we all are prone to. It's what we all know. We know how to do it in the flesh. May not always work, but we know how to do it. Got to do it as unto the Lord. And then finally, 7, below are some points on walking in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. Let us just look briefly at some passages from the Old Testament. I got so involved, I didn't want to spend 2 or 3 hours on walking. But then I started in on the Old Testament. I thought, you know what, don't teach it, just give them the verses in the Old Testament. And I say these as to wise people. You will understand the application of walking in the church age. All right, Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That's just beautiful in dealing with the Christian walk. They wait for the Lord. Sometimes we just got to wait. We want answers now. That old joke, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." See? The Hebrew word translated to wait is one of the strong words for faith. Those who trust the Lord will walk, not become weary, no matter what you have walked over or have to walk through. Secondly, second warning from the Old Testament. Psalm 1:1. And by the way, there are multitudes. I just narrowed it down to a few. Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, anti-God, anti-God's word, anti-God's son, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Isaiah 65:2. I will spread out my hands all day long to rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good, following their own thoughts, doing what they choose to do. All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. That's what this verse is talking about. 3, confidence of walking in the Lord. Here's confidence. When you pass through the waters, trials of life, I will be with you. And through the rivers, mounting trials in life, they will not overflow you. When you walk through fire, severe testing and judgment, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. 4, the love of God calls for us to walk in a manner that pleases Him. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, His word, where the good way is, and walk in it. And the result, you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I'm sorry, a lot of Christians say that right now. I don't want to know the Word of God. I don't want to go to a church where the Word of God is taught and studied. I'm not going to walk in it. They blatantly say it. We will not walk in it. We will not listen. Jeremiah 6:17. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Sound of the trumpet, warning from the Word of God. Verse 19 of Jeremiah 6, I am bringing disaster to this people. You better wake up. 5, unfortunately, sometimes it is not wise to walk as your parents walked. Ezekiel, this is not very good for Father's Day, but it's a warning. Ezekiel 20:18, I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their ordinances, or defile yourselves with their idols. Another historical example is that of Ammon. 2 Kings 21:20. He, Ammon, did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh, his father, had done. 2 Kings 21:21. For he walked in all the way that his father had walked, and served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. Listen, maybe you don't have great memories of learning wonderful things from your father. Maybe you're one of those unfortunate people that it was just a disaster. Verbal, physical molestation, neglect, on and on and on. Let me tell you what. It's your opportunity to change it. Stop that right now in your own life. I'm not going to be that kind of father. I'm not going to be. I don't know what kind of father to be, so I think I'll study the Bible. But just stop it. Don't build on it. Don't continue it. Stop it. Okay, another historical example. 2 Kings 21:21. He walked in the way of his father walked. He served the idols that his father had served and worshipped them. Verse 22. As a result of walking as his father walked, he forsook the Lord, the God of his father, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. People, you get to make up your own mind. Volitional responsibility is going to be the key at the judgment seat of Christ. You are responsible. You're not going to be able to walk up there with your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, the preacher. It's you. You're going to stand before the Lord looking him eye to eye as he looks at your life. Sometimes parents live in a wisdom that you should follow. 1 Samuel 8:3. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonor gained, and took bribes and further and perverted justice. They didn't walk in the way of their father. In conclusion, the biblical concept of walking covers every area of your life, every decision you make. If single, your walk involves your involvement with others. And why? Which college and why? Job and why? Where to live and why? Why to marry this person? Decisions you make as to whom you will marry and why? Where you go to church and why? Financial decisions and why? What do you do with your money and why? Moral decisions you make and why? All of these are decisions we have to make in life. On and on. Walk covers every day, every decision of our life. Back to Colossians 1:10. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. To walk, aorist infinitive of result, followed by an adverb, worthily, suitably, properly, for the Lord, worthy of the Lord. 1, every person who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior is in the Lord. You are born into the family of God. By your second birth, spiritual birth, you are born from above. 2, but now the issue is that while you're here on earth, we live according to being in Him. That is, we live in such a way that is suitable to our position in Christ. Unfortunately, this is not the natural or easy to understand. Many families in America do not demand that their children live in such a way as to honor that family. A wise father and mother, people, it's not about you. It's not about you as father and mother. It's about that child. It's about them. Preparing them for life. It's not about you. You do these things for them. That dear old woman that reared me without a dad, she didn't let that interfere. See, so what some mothers do, they feel guilty, and so they let children get away with unbelievable things. She didn't do it. She beat us like a father would and loved us like a mother would. That's what you have to do. She did it for us. It wasn't about her. It wasn't about us loving her. It was about us preparing us for life. That's what a father and mother are about. Preparing the children for life. Many excuse or deny or try to hide improper behavior. But we must remember that we now represent Jesus Christ to the world. He is absent. He is not here. He is sitting at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. So you are how people will know Jesus Christ. How did Christ love? They're going to learn it from you. That's how they're going to learn it. From you. Three. To walk, live worthy, or suitable to Jesus Christ means that we are to live according to the perfect righteousness of Christ. Righteousness. Along with defining morality, I'd like to have people define righteousness today. What is righteousness? This means we live corresponding to the essence of Christ. That is according to His perfect righteousness. We studied righteousness in the 10 questions of Job. Four, to walk, live worthy of the Lord means you have to know His essence. That is, we have to know His righteousness. And the only place we can learn about His righteousness is from the Word of God. I don't want to do this. It will disappoint my father. It will disappoint my mother. How do I know? Because I know them. I know she's not going to like this. So I'm not going to do it. And I want to tell you, that guided me through a lot of decisions as a teenager. It guided me a lot. It didn't help sometimes. But it guided in most decisions of what to do and not do. Three, to walk, live worthy, or suitable to Christ means that we walk according to His perfect righteousness. Four, to walk, to live worthy of the Lord means you have to know His essence. And we know His essence from the Word of God. Five, this comes from spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding mentioned in verse 9. Biblical wisdom and understanding will guide you in the power of the Holy Spirit to make choices that are fitting to your position in Christ. How we live, how you live, the choices we make in life indicate whether we have any wisdom or not. Understanding what choosing this way or that way will result in your life. Six, to walk, live in a manner worthy of the Lord is also translated that honors the Lord, or as those in the Lord should conduct themselves. We who are to walk in a manner that, but what point six is, I looked at some of the translations of some Bibles. So to walk or live in a manner worthy of the Lord is also translated in some text that honors the Lord, or those in the Lord should conduct themselves. Now, two points I don't want you to miss. And I guess James really took this to heart, because he bold printed it. All right. We are to live, make daily choices that are pleasing to the Lord, not pleasing to us. Two, in all respects, not some, but in every respect of our lives. To please Him in all respects. Here you have it. Herein, one short phrase is the guide you have in your life. To please Jesus Christ. We should have learned this as children, to please our mom and dad. That's what we learn. Then as we grow, become Christians, and grow in our knowledge, I want to please the Lord in what I do, the decisions I make. But it should have been learned, I want to please my mom and dad. I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to disappoint them. I love that old woman that reared me. Every report card she'd write on the back and say, Herman, conduct. Even if it was an A. Even if I got an A in conduct, which wasn't often, but even if I got an A, but especially if I got a B, I'm sorry, I'll work on this. See, she's sorry, I'll work on it. And she did, she worked on it. And her little slogan was, not everybody can be smart, but everybody can be good. See? Well, not everybody, not me. See? But I didn't say that. But, okay. So, to please Jesus Christ, problem. To please Jesus Christ, you have to know Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ, you have to spend time daily in His Word. That's right, daily. Oh, I know, unfortunately, we have only 3 services a week. 1 on Wednesday, 2 on Sunday morning. But you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can go over things we studied in class. You can read the Bible. You can buy other books that are good and read and study the Bible on your own. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Many Christians are like people in the world. They do not know the other person. Wives do not know their husbands. Husbands do not know their wives. So, they give them gifts they like. They make decisions that please them. And then expect the other person to like these gifts and the decisions that they made. And people, to give a gift, to make a decision that pleases someone else, you have to know them and think of them in your decision making. I spent $30,000 and I built you a beautiful swimming pool. Wonderful. I don't swim and I don't sunbathe. Go drown yourself. See? You don't get to do that your own way. To give a gift is thinking. Thinking what this person is like. What they will like. What they're not what you like. Not what you want. But will it please them? What would the person like? What would this person need? You have to know and think of other person to please them. You have to think about Jesus Christ to please Him. You have to think of Jesus Christ to love as He loved. First, you have to know Christ to please Him. And then, this can be accomplished through the study of the Word of God. Second, you have to desire. You have to know Him, and then you have to desire to please Him. This desire comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Third, an important sacrifice. Often to please someone else will require sacrifice on your part. You got to sacrifice time, money, a lot of things to please someone else. To please the Lord, you may have to sacrifice something you wanted yourself to please Him. Are you ready to sacrifice to please Jesus Christ? Often people do not mind sacrifice of money, just don't ask them to sacrifice time. On the other hand, others have time, but do not ask them to sacrifice money. It's different with different people. But in living the Christian life, you may have to sacrifice time, you may have to sacrifice money. Boy, sacrifice time, wow. Twice in this week for here, once on Wednesday night, once on Sunday morning, and while you're here, I got you 2 of them. See? But it's up to you. You've got to decide the sacrifice of time and money. Is it worth it? Is it worth your getting up, getting dressed, driving that distance, getting there? Is it worth it? Or is it not worth it? Are you ready to sacrifice a self-pleasing life to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord? Love. To live your life to please the Lord, you must love the Lord. To love the Lord requires 2 things. First, filling of the Holy Spirit, for the love God is looking for is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you have to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By faith through grace. That is by faith in the Holy Spirit. Second, knowledge of Jesus Christ. This requires, again, growing in the knowledge of Christ, but continually abiding in His Word, in the Holy Spirit. When you truly love someone, you desire to please them. That's the whole point. To please Him in all respects. Many people speed read past all. Yet pleasing Christ includes every area of your life. I like to use the example, if the 5 fingers here represent your total life. A lot of people, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold out. That's for me, God. You got 4, I get 1. That's fair. Come on. No. He wants all. He wants all of you. Every part of your life. Every part of your existence. He wants all of you. Pleasing Christ includes all areas of your life. 1, to walk, live worthy of the Lord is to know the Word of God. To walk pleasing the Lord is to know the Lord. Both of these are impossible without the filling of the Holy Spirit. to please Him in every respect in your life, your marriage, your spiritual life, where you go to church and why, your social life, your work, your money, your time, your family, your friends, on and on and on. Is it really worth it? Listen, a lot of you pass 10, 15, 20 churches. I imagine this, you probably pass 25 or 30. See? Is it worth it coming here? You've got to decide where you go to church and why. See? The days come all the way from Wiley. I'm sure there are a lot of churches in Wiley. I've been to some of them. This here is worth it. You've got to make these decisions. Why church? Why you're going? What you're learning? And why you're learning it? Next we have the fourth and fifth petition of prayer. 4, bearing fruit in every good work. 5, increasing in the knowledge of God. So we'll begin here. I know we've got a few pages left, but James will have to work it out. And he's going, no. We'll start with the fourth and fifth petition next Sunday morning. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, our flesh nature is so close to us. You know that. Sometimes we can just roll into the flesh nature without even thinking. Bam, we're there. To live worthy of your Son requires constant thinking. Constant. We don't just get to ride. When we start riding and gliding, we go into the flesh. Father, I thank you for our study this morning in Colossians. I pray that every one of us will take it as a challenge to live our lives worthy of the Lord, to live our lives to please Him. Not please ourselves, but please Him. And reach the point in life where when we're pleasing Him, we're pleasing ourselves. Father, we pray to take these things, cause them to become a reality in our lives. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen.